Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this weekend's edition, we're going to be focusing again on more of the commodities resource sector, starting off with comments on more of the metals, precious metals, and some of the base metals. And in the back half of the show, again, switching back over to energy, there's a lot of stocks, especially the big ones, that are doing well in the commodities sector. And we have even seen a little bit of life in some of the smaller stocks. But boy, oh boy, that life has been about a month and a half. So potentially still a lot of upside from here. But we all know nothing moves in a straight line. We're kicking off this weekend show with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Matt, let's start off with precious metals because, look, gold continues to be very strong as we're recording this. Gold is pretty much right at $2,400. Silver is a little bit above $28. Even recently, silver's been outperforming gold, but look, gold has been, I think, a lot more impressive in the sense of all-time highs being reached almost on a consistent basis and almost a consolidation of those highs. Matt, when you're looking at this run in gold, what are your thoughts? How much longer could this move and how much higher could it go?
Good to be joining you again, Corey. And look, we last spoke just in the aftermath of PDAC, where we'd just seen gold poke its head above 2,100. And at the time, I was cautious, as I think many were, understandably. We'd seen gold get rejected at roughly that 2,100 level three different times over just the past few years. But a lot has changed in the past 4 to 5 weeks since we spoke. And I'm convinced that this is the real deal. This is the real thing. Look, I mean, we were hoping to see a close above 2,100 for the March timeframe. And that would have been the first time that gold had ever closed on a monthly basis above 2,100. And we got that and more. We got a close to above 2,200. Of course, gold has taken off further from here. So that checked that box pretty definitively. And then silver was the next thing that I was looking for, to see if silver price action would confirm that this move is real. And it has. It broke convincingly above 26 and now 28. Which were both key technical resistance levels. And so I think all the signs are pointing that this is a long-lasting move. And I would say the aspect that's even more beautiful from my perspective is that this move in precious metals has been driven almost entirely without the support of Western financial institutions and by and large, Western investors. This is a move that started with central banks, largely around the time period where the Biden administration cut Russia off of the SWIFT banking system in the aftermath of their invasion of Ukraine. And I think that's going to go down as a seminal event, at least from a gold bug's perspective, and probably can be pointed to as really the genesis of this move that we're now just reaping the benefits of. And we've seen a lot of speculative excitement in the Eastern world amongst Chinese-driven buying from retail investors and what have you. But from my perspective, the longer the Western world sits out this move, the better. So I'm encouraged that this has occurred by, you know, non-traditional buyers. Usually it's the Eastern buyers that are more contrarian oriented and the Western buyers that pile in when there's momentum. And we've really seen it flipped on its head for this move. So I think we're off to the races. And, you know, I don't think this is limited just to precious metals. I mean, turning to the juniors, on April 1st, we saw the TSXV break convincingly above its 200-day moving average for the first time in multiple years. And, you know, gold seems to serve as a bellwether for the broader metal space. This is not an immutable law of the universe that this will be the case in this circumstance as well. But more often than not, you'll see gold leading the way, only for the rest of the metals complex to follow. So, you know, this doesn't mean that there won't be pullbacks, consolidation periods, volatility. But for those with a time frame beyond, you know, 1 or 2 months, I think we're off to the races. It's an exciting time, no doubt.
Yeah, Matt, you said it's nice to have a call like this after so many years of being in the Hurt Locker. But I would also submit that in any bull market, when it really gets going, it climbs that proverbial wall of worry where people have that disbelief element. And we were talking a little bit about that just before the call, just is this too good to be true? But if you think back to it, last year in October, when gold really bottomed around the low 1800s, it closed the year on a bang. I mean, November had a all-time monthly and quarterly high, and then December, same thing, an all-time monthly, quarterly, and annual high. So it was already a shot across the bow that things had changed, but a lot of people still doubted it. Like you say, they wanted that 2100 to be cleared. Then it was cleared convincingly, and people still doubted it. And then they wanted to see silver confirmed, like you mentioned, and then that happened, and they're still doubting it. Is it possible that this is how all bull markets happen, where people that are closest to the sector doubt it the most? It seems like generalists are noting the moves in gold and the stocks more than the people in the sector are.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Shad. And I mean, sentiment has undoubtedly improved from where we were in late 2023. I mean, sentiment was so beaten down at that point. That caused me to reverse course on our decision to build up cash. That's why we got aggressive between mid-October and mid-January and did four different financings, because I hadn't seen sentiment that poor since, I mean, I guess the depths of the COVID crash, but that was unrelated or not directly related to the metal sector. But I hadn't seen that sentiment as poor, you know, since the 2011 through 2015 bear market. It's definitely improved somewhat. And we've seen, you know, share prices of most juniors are, you know, up 25, 50, even in some cases 75% off of their 52-week lows. But there's still that healthy dose of skepticism out there, which I like as an investor. And I mean, within the MJG portfolio, I'm sure others may be seeing different things. But we've really only seen, you know, the juniors start to pick up, you know, some momentum here in the past couple weeks. So it still feels very early in the move, and we're not seeing anything close to the, you know, junior feeding frenzy that one would see towards the top of a proper move in juniors that should make one cautious. So I agree with what you're saying. Even amongst the more seasoned junior investors, there's still that psychological damage that has been inflicted over the past couple years, and we're not in the euphoric phase by any means.
Matt, even the majors, though, those have kind of been lagging as well. When you consider the gold is at all-time highs, there's very few gold stocks, majors, mid-tiers, or juniors that are at all-time highs, maybe 10% of them at most. What does that mean, though, for the sector? When will these stocks finally start performing? Because we've gotten a lot of comments saying, look, I realize gold's doing well. Why isn't my portfolio doing better?
So slow and steady, Corey. I don't want this to be another, you know, 6 month flash in the pan. So I'm okay with this move being more drawn out than not, personally. And I mean, I think we are seeing positive momentum amongst the production stage names. You're right. The vast majority of them are not at 52 week highs. But, you know, you can look at the Pan Americans or Equinox Golds of the world. And, you know, some of these names have picked up a pretty substantial bid over the past 4 weeks. So I think for the sector as a whole to you know, start getting closer to those all time highs, we'll need a few quarters probably of these higher gold prices to actually reflect on the bottom line, companies to start raising their dividends, you know, increasing share buybacks, what have you. So I agree with what you're saying. And, you know, we can start to get more cautious when we see the gold stocks at large, you know, going to all time highs. But in a lot of these names, we'd have to more than double from current levels for that to be in the equation. So more to come.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. Some of these majors, they do need to more than double. The GDX needs to pretty much double just to get back to all-time highs. And the juniors that a lot of us are invested in, some of those need to go up 5, 6X, even some 10X due to how much they have sold off just over the last few years. But hey, there's a lot more companies out there and just not that much money out there to push all these to all-time highs. So that's, I think, where the game lies right now. We're going to be right back with Matt Geiger. Everyone, stick around.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. back. We're continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Matt, let's get a little bit more into portfolio management then, because, look, a lot of these stocks, no matter what resource or commodity they're in, have rebounded. Some of the juniors, again, are double. Some are even triple where they were just a few months ago. Some are simply back to where they started the year. But that does change general valuations and even some sentiment around these stocks. We're seeing a lot of financings come out. I know that last time we chatted, you were pretty much fully deployed in the MJG fund. But what's your advice for people managing a portfolio of resource stocks here now, seeing them start to rebound, still have a lot of upside potentially, but again, valuations have changed?
That's right. As mentioned earlier, we have seen a lot of these companies come off of their lows for the year, even though we haven't seen a huge flood of money into the juniors as starting to begin. And it is true that a stock that is up 50, 75, 100% from its lows, without a fundamental catalyst, I should say, driving that move, just purely moving based off of a change in sentiment, a story like that is arithmetically less attractive than before the move. There's no denying that. However, keep in mind that many of these companies are coming off of extremely beaten down levels that we saw late last year and early this year. And as a group, the juniors haven't moved, and we haven't seen that feeding frenzy that would make one cautious to this point. And then also remember, a lot of these financings are still coming, at least as of now, with at least a half warrant sweetener, which needs to be factored into one's calculation when you know, deciding whether or not to participate in a given deal. And particularly in junior bull markets, warrants can prove exceptionally valuable for investors. But taking a step back, I would say that each company and each given financing opportunity needs to be evaluated on its own merits, of course. And as part of any investment process on a given name, it's essential to estimate the company's expected value, as imperfect as that may be for the name that you're evaluating. So if what the company looks to be achieving is achieved, what would be the value there? And then adjusting that for the risk of that actually happening. Obviously, a very imperfect measure, especially in the junior patch where there's so much variability. But I still think that's an essential effort that one needs to take to just have a number in mind. And then as part of that process, also to determine the level at which you would start to take profits if you were to invest in a given private placement. And this would, of course, be absent of fundamental development that could change your calculus. But the thought process is, assuming nothing changes on the company level, you know, I'm doing a deal here at 50 cents per se with a half warrant at 75 cents. At what level will I start to take money off the table if we see the share price, you know, rise up to 70, 80 cents, 90 cents a buck, and there hasn't been a major change on the company level? Where do I start taking money off the table? And usually that profit taking level should be below what you deem the company's ultimate expected value to be, factoring in for the, you know, the imperfection and the uncertainty inherent with estimating, you know, what the company should be worth at the given time. So when you're thinking about these 50 to 100% moves that we've maybe seen in some of these juniors, in some cases quite quietly, and you're looking at a private placement that's off of the bottom that we saw earlier this year, late last year, you know, it needs to be thought of within this context. And a company that maybe had 3x upside to its expected value, maybe now has 2.5x upside or 2x upside to its expected value. And so as an investor, you have to factor that in. And it still could be a worthy bet, even if you're not getting it at its rock bottom lows.
So a lot of times when investors are looking at these junior stocks too, rightfully or wrongfully so, they are looking for some sort of a takeover, some M&A to free up their capital, give them a premium on their investment. We haven't seen many M&As in terms of the junior companies, and we're still hearing from a lot of the majors that they're not really looking down to the juniors. It's been the mid-tiers that have dabbled in some of the junior companies, but those have been more established companies as well. So, Matt, should investors, one, be focused or hope for M&A when they are investing in a junior stock? What's your outlook for M&A potentially picking up for the junior companies?
Sure. Well, it's a style of investing, and I think there's quite a bit of merit to it. So we have, you know, companies that fall into multiple buckets within our portfolio. One of the buckets I would consider the high quality development stories. And those are companies where at spot metal prices, their projects make a lot of sense on paper. Maybe there's some uncertainty into whether they'll be permitted. You know, there's clearly still work to be done to get it through feasibility to actually get it to the point where there's ground to be broken. But there's a style of investing where one goes and looks for these high quality projects that are likely in the trough, hopefully in the trough of the Lassonde curve. You don't want to buy them after the initial discovery hype only to ride it down. But there are quite a few projects out there that have been neglected just because they're in the boring phase of development, but have a decent chance of making it into production over the next five or 10 years. So I think that's a certain style of investing. And if you're to hold those types of names, there are two things that you would look for. The first would be a takeover, as you say. And the second would be the company bringing it to a production decision. And if they have the in-house expertise to take that project forward, that's all the better. That creates some competitive tension, so to speak, with potential acquirers. I mean, any company worth their salt is always going to threaten to build the mine. But some teams have that skill set and some teams don't. But for some of these companies where the teams do credibly have the skill set, where if a proper offer does not emerge, you know, between, say, the pre-feasibility stage and say, the feasibility study coming out, if they can threaten to actually build the thing, that helps investors from that perspective. So if you're looking at this niche of the market, those are the two big things that one could expect to create value. You know, very so often you'll have an occasion where there's a later stage development project. You know, you think it's a deposit of a certain size, of a certain production profile, and then they get lucky with the drill bit and find something either elsewhere on the property, or they find a new zone that was unexpected. That shouldn't be, you know, one's thesis, unless you have some very, you know, very specific intel that's within the realm of possibility. But on rare occasions, that can be a very, very pleasant experience where you're investing in what looks like a good project at good value, and then unexpectedly it gets a lot better.
All right, Matt, all great comments. Thank you very much for sharing kind of what you're doing in the sector, how you're looking at these junior companies and all the financings that we are seeing, and a lot that were announced this week and undoubtedly going to continue to be announced as long as these financing windows remain open. These companies need money, and they need money just to keep the lights on, and then further money to go do some programs here to actually move their projects forward. Always a pleasure chatting with you, Matt. Again, you can check out Matt over at the MJG Capital website, which we will link to within that weekend show posting. We'll chat with Matt again next month. Matt, thank you for your time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
U.S. USA News update. Six alternate jurors have been selected for former President Trump's hush money trial, joining the already established panel of 12 jurors. Opening arguments are set to begin on Monday. The U.S. is blocking the United Nations from approving a Palestinian request for full membership status by using its veto in the Security Council.
The draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the Council.
The U.K. and Switzerland abstained from Thursday's vote, while the remaining 12 members voted yes. President Biden is mobilizing union workers to support his bid for re-election. Speaking at a conference of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Washington, D.C. Friday, the president highlighted how his bipartisan infrastructure legislation is fostering the creation of new unionized positions, proudly dubbing himself the most pro-union president in American history. John Schaefer, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments where we focused more on metals, resources, stocks, especially in these last two segments of the first hour. We are focused on energy as we are chatting again with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Perspectives Group. We're going to talk macro factors driving the oil price that was recently above $85, natural gas, which continues to be stuck in a pretty depressed price range, and a couple companies that Dan brought to our attention in his small cap growth portfolio. We're also going to highlight a luncheon that Dan is hosting in Houston with In Play Oil. Dan, let's start off with the oil price here. Oil earlier this week moved above $85 a barrel, up to about $87 a barrel as we're talking Wednesday, halfway through the day. It has pulled back a little bit. Have to ask kind of big picture question. What a lot of people were talking about heading into this week was the escalating conflict in the Middle East. How much war premium do you think, Dan, is currently in the oil price as it is now right around that $82 to $83 a barrel?
Well, it kind of always runs up on those kind of, and it wasn't a rumor, obviously, they did get attacked. So I ran, when I saw that happen, I thought, you know, it may be $100 oil or something on Monday. I think now we're sitting back thinking that because, you know, Israel was able to knock down 99% of the deals and had very little damage from that attack, maybe, you know, they're okay and maybe they're not going to respond. I got to believe they are going to respond. I mean, that's I mean, think about if somebody lobbed 350 freaking rockets into the U.S. or something. I mean, you can't just not respond to it. So they could do something if they want to. But for them to attack, they would need support from U.S. military, because the U.S. military would have to take out or jam a lot of the air defense systems in Iran for Israel to do a, I mean, maybe it'd just be Israeli jets going in there, but we would have to help them get through the air defense of Iran. So maybe that's why I do think it got a little ahead of itself. A lot of times when you get this geopolitical risk premium in oil, if things don't happen pretty quickly, then it pulls back. So I think 87, I mean, 6 weeks ago, I was just hoping that oil would average, you know, 80 during the quarter. And then it, you know, went way above 85. So I raised the, you know, the price I'm using in my forecast models is 82.50. But then I do think that oil is going to go quite a bit higher, because demand for refined products, transportation fuels continue to drain storage. Our inventories of gasoline and diesel are both below where they should be for this time of year.
So, Dan, broadly, we can say that the oil price is traded in a range here, really back to almost the third quarter of 2022. Highs right around, let's say, 95 max, and lows right into the about $65 range. What are the catalysts that could break the oil price out either to the upside, up towards that $100 a barrel, or that could actually be a hamper and move the oil price down to potentially those mid-60 levels?
Well, I think when the reality sinks in that U.S. oil production is going to peak, and I'm seeing more and more that you guys have HFI research up there, they're saying they don't see U.S. oil production getting over 14 million barrels a day. So there's this belief that we just got to go out and, you know, run a bunch of rigs and drill a bunch of you know, more shale wells or something, and we can increase it. Well, every year you got all these other existing wells on steady decline. So the more and more that you rely on, especially the shales that have high decline rates, the more and more wells you have to drill every year just to hold production flat. And I would say today we're not really completing enough wells today that's going to be able to hold production flat for much longer. So I think we are going to have a peak. You know, Adam Rosenzweig, which I think you've watched his stuff before, he's been touting for a long time that by the end of this year or early 2025, the Permian Basin is going to peak. If the Permian Basin peaks, there's no, you know, oil growth in the U.S. is pretty much done. Now, you know, maybe we'll come up with some, you know, new technologies or something. There's still a lot of oil in place, but there's no, the cheap oil is gone. I mean, there's no more $20 oil or $30 oil. And I would honestly say, you said that range, I used to tell people, if you want to run a low case on looking at a drilling program or something, run it at $50 oil. That'd be low. And, you know, maybe 70 is your, where you think it's going to be. And then maybe 80 or 90 for your high case. I think the base case now you'd have to say is 60. I can't see oil. You know, we'd have to have a major recession for oil to go back down to 60 and stay there. And then these companies, if we're at $80 oil, they are extremely profitable.
Yeah, Dan. And I think a lot of the companies we're factoring in, maybe we'd still get stuck in that $60 to $70 range. So I think they're pretty happy with oil in the 80s. But to your point about the Permian Basin possibly peaking out, that may happen down the road. But right now, the U.S. is still outputting a ton of oil. And last year was one of the biggest output years of all time. And there's, and with that much oil drilling, there's also a lot of nat gas that comes as a result. So maybe could you give us an update on the nat gas markets as a result of all this oil production?
Well, in the Permian Basin now, gas prices are almost zero. The pipes are full. They have no more takeaway capacity. So they got a problem out there and they need more pipe. And, you know, we got a government that tries to block every freaking pipeline they want to build. So that hurts. So, yeah, you got that. You got all these wells being drilled for oil, but they produce a lot of rich gas, like high BTU gas. So it's good gas, and you got a lot of liquids in it, you know, propanes, butanes and stuff in it. So that's really good, but we need more market. I think what we're going to see in gas, what's going to get gas prices going up, when they start bringing on, and there's like five or six LNG export facilities that are set to come online over the next 2 years. In fact, a big one called in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, is coming online just in the next few months, and it adds another 2 BCF per day of capacity. The current problem is that several of these LNG export facilities like Cheniere and, you know, some of the other big ones, they they're doing some maintenance. They're down for maintenance. So feedstock demand for LNG export feedstock is down a little bit. So that's the current problem. We've got, you know, we got a surplus really, and we've got to work it off, but you know, market forces will, they'll take care of it eventually.
Yeah. Well, natural gas, boy, oh boy, it just really seems stuck. Everyone's pointing to these LNG terminals that are being built, but doesn't seem like the market's looking ahead to those right now. Let's talk about the overall size of these markets. You brought up a very interesting stat to us before we recorded about the size of the natural gas market, but also tie it into the oil market. What sort of growth have we seen broadly in terms of production and demand in both oil and natural gas market size?
Well, you know, the EVs are not going to have the impact on lowering gasoline and diesel that they thought. So if that's still going up, our gasoline and diesel inventories are lower than normal in the United States. Demand remains very high. There's, you know, nothing that I see that's going to reduce demand. It would take like a global recession to dilute or reduce oil demand much. And I just don't see that happening. We're just not spending enough money. So you're not bringing on enough new supply to really keep up with rising demand. And I think IEA especially has been understating demand. Several people have sent letters to, I mean, we've had congressmen and stuff send letters to IEA in Paris telling them that, hey, you guys need to get your act together. You're underestimating this, because even EIA, our Department of Energy, has raised their demand forecast several times. So I don't see that. Now, on the natural gas side, I think everybody needs to realize this AI and crypto mining stuff is incredibly demanding for electricity. They are the only way to meet this growing electricity demand is to build a lot more natural gas-fired power plants and maybe these modular or smaller nuclear power plants. And I don't know anything about that, but I mean, we're going to need a lot of natural gas power plants, even down in Texas. We're going to need them. You know, our population is growing. We got all these people from California moving here, businesses moving here. So that's going to increase our electricity demand. But, you know, I mean, just think about it. All we're really doing with EVs and everything, they just want to electrify everything. You know, they even want to ban gasoline-fired lawnmowers and make us all use electric lawnmowers. So it's got to come from somewhere. It doesn't just come from out of the air. So you got to generate it.
All right, Dan, that's all the time we have for this segment. But we're having you back on next segment to wrap up the first hour, talking more about a couple companies that you sent our way.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we are chatting still with Dan Steffens. Now moving into a couple companies that Dan sent us over. Just as a recap, Dan covers a lot of companies in the Energy Prospectus group and has them segregated into a range of categories, different types of portfolios. Dan really does drive into the fundamentals of these companies, puts together his own models, and comes up with his own price forecasts as well as dividend outlooks. A number of other kind of financial metrics that matter most to investors. I appreciate all of Dan's work, and I highly recommend checking out the Energy Prospectus Group website and joining Dan's service. But Dan, in the meantime, let's start off with the first company you sent us, Riley Exploration Permian, traded REPX, a focus in the Permian Basin. We have heard that the Permian Basin is getting tapped out, but hey, look, this one has some growth on tap that you like. So Dan, please take us through what you like about Riley Exploration Permian.
I've been following this company for a couple of years. They came to my attention when I heard they were had the potential for a CO2 flood out there. And I worked for Hess for 18 years, and we at one time had the most successful CO2 flood in the world. And they have an area where they have the same formation, the San Andreas formation, that is perfect for CO2 floods. It's a sandstone, and you mix CO2 with water and it goes through there and can really do it. So that's looking good. The pilot program's going good. And on that, they expect to publish a feasibility study by the end of the year to expand it, what it would cost to expand it to the whole field. But regardless of that, what I really like about them is they have now established a new core area over in New Mexico, southeastern New Mexico, in Eddy County, which Eddy County is actually known for some of the best shale wells in the world. In the world are being drilled in Eddy County. These are wells that EOG and Matador and some of the other biggies are completing. They're coming on at 5,000-7,000 barrels a day wells. But Riley is focused on shallower zones. They've got an area where now they have built up like 25,000 acres. They've closed one big acquisition, and now they're going to close a bolt on that's going to like double their acreage in this play. Going forward, About 40% of their oil production, their total production, is going to be coming from New Mexico, and about 60% from their legacy assets that are in Yoakum County. They're right on the border between Texas and New Mexico. So both of these areas are close together, and they have strong production growth, increased production by 33% year over year in 2022, and another 61% year over year in 2023. And it looks like they're going to be adding double-digit production growth just from drilling programs for the next several years. Fourth quarter 23 production was 19,924 BOE per day, about 60% oil. This company is heavily weighted to oil, so the low gas price up there doesn't hurt. Now, if gas prices do improve, it could significantly increase their revenues, but I'm not modeling that to happen for at least the next 2 years. But anyway, it generates free cash flow. They already pay a dividend. It was a private company that was built, you know, on these drilling programs and stuff, and those guys were having nice quarterly distributions out of those partnerships. So when they went public, they had to keep paying a dividend. And they told me, I just talked to them on Tuesday, that their plan is to increase their dividend 5% per year. That's their goal. And they definitely have the running room to do that. But they're going to be generating like 3 or 4 times more free cash flow than their current dividend. So they could raise it a lot more, but they're going to use the excess. They told me their focus was going to be to pay down debt that they incurred to do these acquisitions. Now, the last acquisition they did, or the one that they're closing in May, I'm sorry, they're working on closing it real quick, and they did an equity raise, which kind of stunned the market. You know, recently, small caps have not been able to raise equity or sell stock, and that they were able to do that. They're going to buy that with that equity raise, which I love, and keeps the balance sheet in balance, and they're going to have a lot of free cash flow, so it looks good. Again, briefly on the CO2 flood that's underway, they've got like two horizontal injectors and four vertical injectors that's driving the, you know, water. It's water plus CO2. It's increasing in that area the production, so that looks good. They're going to get together a bunch of data from these wells and then see what that's going to cost. But another thing they got that really looks exciting to me, and I talked about them on Tuesday, they've established a new company called RPC Power LLC, and they've hooked up with another power company that has modular power generating facilities. And what they really look like is a railroad train car. And you can get our boxcar thing, and you can hook these things together as much as you want. So you can put power generation right in the field. So the gas coming out of the ground, it has to be, you know, processed a little bit to get the liquids out of it. And then that gas just goes right into these, you know, modulars to generate electricity. And they are already generating 36% of the electricity they're using in Texas is being generated by this new facility. And that alone is going to, first of all, it, you know, they don't have to worry about pipeline capacity for their gas or anything. So they're selling their gas out of the ground to this new company and then getting their electricity for virtually free. So that's going to lower their operating expenses there. And there's a lot of interest in this technology because they do have regular power outages out in West Texas. They get a lot of their power from wind and solar way out there in the middle of nowhere, really. And they can't happen. And a lot of their wells have submersible electric pumps in them. And so if they lose power, they can have wells have to be shut in. And so that's very costly. So this is a very good thing for them. And I think it's going to spread. I think a lot of other companies are going to start doing this. So that's got that upside. But I really like it. I think it's, my valuation is about double where it's trading now. It's at about 27 or 8 here on Wednesday. And, my valuation on it is $50 a share.
Okay. I was going to ask you where you stood in terms of price, dividend forecast, even debt outlook, but you've kind of covered those there for us. Very cool initiative there of how they're developing their own power, generating their own power on site, a whole other aspect of the company. Let's move on to Surge Energy then, traded SGY on the TSX. This is a Calgary-based upstream company, again, also in your small cap growth portfolio. They pay actually a higher dividend right now than Riley Exploration does at just over 6%. Take us through some of the high-level fundamentals on Surge, what you like about them.
Yeah, I started following this a couple of years ago, and they came down and hosted one of our luncheons, and I've had them on a couple of webinars, and I just really like this team, and they've really got something going out. They have an area called Sparky. It's in Saskatchewan, and they own a bunch of acreage there, and they've been completing these multilateral horizontal wells. So they drill down, they case the well vertically, and then from the bottom of that pipe, they drill several. I think one well, they drilled 12 laterals. And so these laterals may go out another half mile or so in all different directions and at different depths. And so basically, they're just opening up a lot more pore space in the zone. They actually, in I think it was the fourth quarter, they reported some of the best producing, best economic wells in all of Saskatchewan were their wells. So they look really good. They're up to 25,000 BOE per day. And they're, again, they're very heavily weighted to oil. As at the current share price, the yield is 6.1%. And I expect them to increase. They've told me when they reach these debt reduction targets, which with, you know, the current oil price, they're going to reach these debt reduction targets that they have by mid-year within a few months. And so I expect them to raise their dividend. I mean, they've publicly told the market in a bunch of presentations that they're going to raise the dividends later this year. Strong production growth, again, 20.5% year-over-year production growth in 22 and another 15% production growth in 2023. What happens in these small caps, these Canadian juniors and the U.S. small caps as well, when they get to certain thresholds and 20,000, 25,000 barrels per day is where the market starts thinking of you as a mid-cap, not a small cap, but a mid-cap. And so you get higher valuations. You know, the market just starts thinking that, you know, they'll pay 5 times cash flow or 6 times cash flow instead of where these guys are trading, which is like 2 or 3 times cash flow at this point. I've never seen companies of this quality trade at such incredibly low multiples of cash flow before. So it looks really good, and they got a lot of running room. And again, the opening of the Trans Mountain Pipeline has also increased their netbacks on their wells. So they're going to have a nice revenue surge here in the second quarter.
All right, Dan. Great chatting with you. Thank you, as always, for sharing your thoughts on the energy sector, the energy prices, as well as the stocks that have your attention and some of your research on those stocks. Again, if anyone wants more information on the Energy Prospectus Group, I'll post a link to the website. You can also email Dan and his team at energyprospectus@gmail.com, where you can find out more about that upcoming Houston lunch and any of the future luncheons as well. So Dan, thank you very much for joining us on this weekend show. Everyone, stick around for the second hour, where I will be replaying some of the more listened to and I think some of the more on track investment commentary that we had commentating on the daily market moves throughout the week. Stick around.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.